back to Vocal Point with your host, Jerry Newcomb, on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, now that the 2012 election is over, time for a lot of analysis, time for a lot of introspection, time for a lot of reflective looking back. And one issue is certainly we could see, I believe, as a conservative, there was incredible media bias on this whole thing. And Tim Graham does excellent research and work and writing and so forth for the Media Research Center. And that's the go-to place in this country when it comes to leftward media bias in the dominant mainstream media. Tim Graham, thank you so much for joining us. It's great to have you back on the program.
Sure.
Okay, let's get an overview about the 2012 election as far as media bias. I mean, we all kind of instinctively know that the, okay, CBS, ABC, NBC, they're left of center, but maybe people don't realize the extent to which that's true.
Well, right. I mean, back in 1992, they did a poll, and they asked the reporters who they were going to vote for in 92. It was 89% for Bill Clinton, 7% for George H.W. Bush, 2% for Ross Perot. And our response at the time was, no, that the 89% number is too low. Because the reality is that they were and have been, you know, a very dramatically Democratic grouping of people. And I think that, you know, this is what we set out to do here when we arrive in the morning, is to try to document how is this, you know, our race being tipped every day.
Yeah.
So we came up here with, at the end of the election cycle, our Rich Noyes wrote a piece, and we made five examples of how they tipped the scale in favor of Obama. Now, we could probably make a list of 55, but
sure,
we tried to make it quick.
Okay, go ahead. What are the five?
Well, one was the way that the what we call the gaffe patrol was always finding something Romney said to be outrageous.
Yeah.
Which is a little interesting because obviously in the Republican primaries they thought it was everybody else who was the gaffe machine, whether it was Gingrich, Michelle Bachmann, Herman Cain. They were constantly suggesting Rick Perry, that all these people, their mouth was going to get them in trouble. And at the same time, they would write these pieces about Joe Biden. He's just outspoken. That's one. There was the problem we continue to have with the idea of fact checkers.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Before you get into the fact checkers, going back to this thing about the the outrageous statements. Along those same lines would be, if you look at the double standard, if a conservative says something that's outrageous or that's over the top or whatever, that's one thing. But just the other day, Chris Matthews, now he has apologized, and we'll give him that credit for that. But he actually said, as I understand it, Hurricane Sandy was something helpful in the election, and he's happy for it because it stopped Romney's momentum and Obama was able to win. And then he apologized, and I didn't mean any harm on the poor victims of Sandy, et cetera. But if a conservative said something even comparable, they probably would be fired by now.
Well, this is what generally happens is, talk radio hosts on both sides say things that the other side will say. You need to apologize for that. We remember Ed Schultz suggesting that Laura Ingraham was a talk slut, and he had to retire. He had to apologize for that. And then Limbaugh had the whole fight over calling
Sandra Fluckup. Yeah, we don't want to use these words, but I know what you're saying. Yeah,
but these things that happen. This is supposed to be a news channel, right? MSNBC. This isn't supposed to be a talk radio station. It's supposed to be a news channel.
Good point.
But I mean, this is the game. One of the games we play in politics now is who said something outrageous. And that is one of those areas where you really do find a dramatic, tilted playing field.
Yeah.
And we can go no further than to focus, if we're not going to just talk about Obama, the Senate candidates, Todd Akin and Richard Murdoch,
sure,
which were the two top Senate races that the media cared about. Now, let's go back to 2010 for a second and say, who were the gaffe machines in the Senate races of 2010? Sharon Angle in Nevada, Christine O'Donnell in Delaware. And why? Because the Democrats wanted them defeated, because they were Tea Party nominees. And the media, when they want, when they put a target on you, that's what they're doing, is they're listening for you to say something that they find offensive. Now, Todd Akin said something that's just scientifically inaccurate.
Right, and stupid, and I mean, the words legitimate and rape don't go together, and he himself apologized for that profusely the next day, etc.
I think that most of us can hear what Richard Murdoch said and say, I agree with that. I think that he said it sensitively, and he, you know, you want to feel that every conception, there's a reason for every conception if you really believe in God's will. This is the same thing they tried to do to a House candidate, John Koster, in Washington State. Is they love this memo of the Republicans are so extreme on abortion that they don't think there should be abortion after a sexual assault. Now, here's what the liberal media never does. They never seem to find anything that a Democrat says to be outrageous. I can give you one from a few years ago in Washington State where Patty Murray, running for the Senate, suggested that Osama bin Laden was a philanthropist. I kid you not that he's popular in the Arab world because of the things he does to feed the children and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that nobody ever heard about that outside the conservative...
Yeah, I remember that vaguely now that you mention it, yeah.
It shows you they're very careful.
Right.
I mean, the answer I would say to you is, what was the big Biden gaffe of the last 2 months that the news media seized on? And the answer is there wasn't one.
Yeah.
The closest thing to it was they did forward sort of the conservative Republican complaint about Biden and his aggressive laughing and smiling and stuff in the debate.
Yeah, 80 times he interrupted Paul Ryan or the moderator.
But, you know, he also, you know, one of the soldiers, one of the fathers of the man who, one of the men who died in Libya.
Yeah, I know this quote, don't say
right,
it on the air.
But, you know, when you're...
He had big cojones, he said, in a crude way.
Completely inappropriate comments to the father of a lost government servant. The idea that they all didn't talk about that?
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, the double standard there is just unbelievable. In fact... one thing that was interesting a couple weeks ago, humor, it's so true what the Bible says, laughter is a good medicine. and it was nice when the president and Mitt Romney in the middle of this, you know, contentious campaign and so forth, they participated in that Al Smith dinner in New York City, and they were making jokes, sometimes even at themselves. But I thought that one of the lines that was just incredibly funny, probably the funniest thing to come out of the whole 2012 election, not that there was much that was funny there, but was when Mitt Romney said, after all the statements, every time Joe Biden opens his mouth, they should have a recording of me saying, I'm Mitt Romney and I approve this message. That's hilarious. And, you know, that was just so funny. So anyway, but I interrupted you after you gave point number one of your 5 points. So let's go through two through five.
Okay. So there is this whole idea of partisan fact checking. You know, they use the words independent fact checkers, but when you go to groups like PolitiFact, which comes out of the Tampa Bay Times, a liberal newspaper, factcheck.org, which is run by a former political reporter for CNN, these are not independent fact checkers. They are liberal media fact checkers. And when you go to PolitiFact and they have what they call a liar pants on fire category, like incredibly inaccurate, what you'll find is that dramatically, overwhelmingly, they are picking on the Republicans as liars. And so this is what happens. And, of course, the biggest example of this would have been in the Candy Crowley debate, where she stepped in to tell Romney he was wrong about Obama.
Right.
When actually,
Benghazi terrorist attack. I said in the Rose Garden the next day it was a terrorist attack.
He used the word acts of terror in a very generic way. I think you could argue that he didn't say the Libya thing was an act of terror. And I think the real key is, even if he did say that, why did the administration then, in the succeeding days, very aggressively blame it on a YouTube video? And Candy Crowley not only messed this up as a fact checker, she messed it up as a moderator by not going there with Obama.
Okay, before you go to the next point, and by the way, Benghazi is a huge example.
Yeah.
And there may be some listeners to us right now who don't even know what that means, Benghazi. You know, and Benghazi In a fair world, I think Benghazi would be the end of the Obama administration. So I'm serious in terms of impeachment or whatever. I mean, with Watergate, there were no dead bodies. But with Benghazi, you're talking about four dead Americans. But before we move on to your third overall point of media bias in the 2012 election, I'd like you to tell me if there's any website or fact checkers that you all would say both sides could agree these guys are fair.
I don't think there is one.
Really? Not even from the right or the left or really? No, that's disheartening. There's not somebody that you could say, you know, we think these guys they try
to gold standard.
Yeah.
No, and I think, but this is one of those things that we have to be very careful about, and people need to understand this. And they will use, the old Daniel Patrick Moynihan thing. You are entitled to opinions, but you're not entitled to your own facts. But the reality is, there are things where we can agree that there's a fact. There are things where we will disagree that something is factual. Or we will say, a lot of times, you get one of these things where what they will say is, well, there's nothing unfactual in what you said, but it leaves a misleading impression. And that's the whole thing where these fact checkers kind of fall apart.
Yeah.
Because, Glenn Kessler at the Washington Post, which is another one that people use when they talk about these things, and somebody would say something completely truthful, and he'd give it two Pinocchios. And the two Pinocchios rating was true, but misleading. And I'm like, no, you're giving somebody a double liar and then saying it's true. Everybody's completely not understanding what you're trying to say here.
Right. And on the other hand, since we're just overloaded with information, if you see the two Pinocchio noses, you think, oh, well, Romney was a liar on that particular point. You know, that's
exactly.
And yeah.
And so
that's not good, though, that you can't name a single.
No.
I'm disheartened by that. Hopefully, maybe there's a need there that somebody could try and fulfill. When it comes to internet rumors, I really like a group called truthorfiction.com. And I've heard that Snopes.com is definitely biased towards the left, but at least, if something's an urban legend, if they can have evidence that it's an urban legend, it's still there. Okay,
serves a purpose. Yeah.
It serves a purpose. By the way, I was doing research the other day on Benghazi, and I was trying to create and understand a factual timeline without, any bias one way or the other. And I was just trying to find the exact facts about Tyrone Woods, who is an American hero and should be a household name, and maybe, Lord willing, one day he will be a household name and deserve the credit that he did deserve, because he apparently put himself in harm's way and laid down his life so that 30 Americans might live, or 30 people in the embassy were evacuated and able to live for another day. But as I was trying to do it, it was almost as if the timelines differed from different news sources. And that was disheartening. I did see one source called WeCheck. Like WeCheck.com. Any comments of where they're coming from, whether the right or the left, or
I'm not
like
very
that?
Familiar with them. But
okay,
I mean, I think that you're exactly right. Is that this is part? We just have to all understand something, and that is right. We can all try to say, let's piece this together. This is what a congressional oversight panel should do, and this is what a good newspaper should do, and that is really trying to get people to understand. And this is what you're asking in terms of interviewing the president or anybody in the administration on this issue, is that what you wanted to establish was, what was the information you had at what time and what decision did you make based on that information?
Yes.
We never got those answers before this election.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what, just this conversation alone, Tim, shows that there is a crying need for somebody out there to create a true fact check that would be just interested in the facts. By the way, I like a guy from the Wall Street Journal. I recognize he doesn't share my worldview and so forth, but James Taranto, and I find that he will spank the conservatives when the conservatives need spanking, but he'll spank the liberals when the liberals need spanking.
Plus,
I enjoy a sense of humor.
I recommend Taranto to anyone, and I, the only
best of the
way
web
I
today.
Got, the only way I got through this election as a conservative American is Taranto basically joking that, you know, the best thing about a second Obama term is he's going to have to complain about the country he inherited from Obama.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, the third point, and by the way, for those who may have just joined us, we're talking about the post-2012 election, but we're focusing on the way the dominant mainstream media was so biased in favor of Obama. It really slanted the stories. And let's be honest, more people still watch ABC, CBS, and NBC because that's of what's available throughout the country than they're able to watch, let's say, Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or whatever. Okay, the third major example of media bias as seen in the 2012 election, Tim Graham.
Well, and that's the generic question of the biased debate moderators, you know, as a group of four. And that is that we are still somehow enthralled to the liberal media because somehow the Republicans can't say out of four debate moderators we could get somebody from Fox News to moderate one of those four debates.
Yep.
So here again, we have PBS's Jim Lehrer and Bob Schieffer were the old guard who've done it many times. Lehrer just
They did a good job, by the way.
And Lehrer got slammed
after
the first debate because he wasn't active enough in, since Romney seemed to win, obviously Lehrer failed. I mean, I think this is where you begin to get an impression that what the liberal journalists expect is a moderator that will tilt the field toward Obama. And so what we got with the Martha Raddatz in the vice presidential debate and Candy Crowley in the second in the town hall debate was a tilt. And as much as the Candy Crowley debate was an outrage for her fact-checking, I think when you go back and look at the people she selected to represent the views of America who came with these left-wing boutique questions, and that's where you just say, these town hall debates are a little fictional because they present these people as average voters, and what you got was a dramatic tilt, six questions from the left and a couple from the right, that's part of the problem.
You know, there's a great concept from the Christian church that applies here. The concept is the idea that there are sins of commission.
No.
Thou shalt not do this, that's not, and the other. But there's also sins of omission. You know, go and love your neighbor as yourself, and, you know, do these specific things. And I think when it comes to media bias, it's almost as if the sin of omission is really the more dominant infraction here.
Well, and it's also the one that sneaks by you. You know, bias by omission is sneakier because you don't realize it's happened.
That's
you can see what Candy Crowley did and say, aha, I see what she did there. She basically said Obama's right and Romney's wrong.
Yeah.
And Romney should go home and stop lying. When you've got the President of the United States saying, say it a little louder, Candy, and she repeats herself, that's where you're just like, who's winning? Well, the guy who obviously the moderator favors is winning. And that's part of the problem. But, this is where you go back to Libya and you say, not only did they not make the Obama people answer questions, they went through long weeks, days and weeks of this campaign at the end where they just didn't have a story at all. And this is where I would fault Bob Schieffer in that he asked a Libya question at the beginning of the third debate, but he asked it to Romney, and he did not ask it to Obama. You know, and they could say, well, that's the way the coin flipped. Well, no, you could have started the debate by asking about China, and then when it was Obama's turn, you ask him about Libya.
Right.
That was your choice.
Yeah, good point.
And so it ended up being one of those things where Romney was and this is where you can argue about, Romney's performance in the third debate, I think, may end up being the most controversial because he seemed to be wanting to hug Obama's policies across the globe, and it was kind of mysterious, and wouldn't sink his teeth back into the Libya thing because it hurt him the last time. So, Schieffer never decided to hold Obama accountable. And Obama, let's remember this, throughout the entire fall campaign, since the month of June, no press conference. None. Mm-hmm. Obama went from Access Hollywood to The View to Leno to Letterman. He didn't have press conferences. He did comedy shows. Jon Stewart. When he did sit down with a reporter like he did with Brian Williams at Rock Center, Brian Williams, the only Libya question he could ask him was, are you disappointed with the intelligence? You know, he didn't ask him anything about the timeline. He basically gave him an opportunity to repeat this line he always says, nobody's more interested in the facts than I am. Well, Obama's obviously the worst fact checker we've ever had as president then, because it's 2 months later and we still don't have any information.
Boy, you know, listening to you and listening to this conversation, I can't help but think, well, at least, thank the Lord, we have the alternative media.
Yeah.
And thanks to that, we are able to be a well-informed people. I remember even in 1984 when Ronald Reagan won re-election, as you may recall, the media was basically against him as well, but he had a way of communicating so well above their heads to the hearts of the American people, and that made a big difference. Okay,
a charisma, yeah.
Yeah, he did, and it's just a folksy way of, well, you know, Mr. Reagan, why aren't you pro-choice? Well, I happen to notice everybody who's pro-choice has already been born. Anyway, what's the fourth example of media bias that just was striking us over the head in 2012 election?
Well, and this is where we did list Libya, the Benghazi blackout, as we call it. Not that they didn't do some stories on Libya, but they really did go days and days where they wouldn't cover it. And they didn't really cover the whole idea of how the administration had several different stories, sometimes going at the same time. Is it a terrorist attack, or was it somehow a spontaneous reaction to this YouTube video out of California? They tried to say that. They sent out the UN ambassador, Susan Rice, who gave 5 Sunday show interviews, all making the case this was a spontaneous reaction to a video, not a terrorist attack. Well, it's become quite clear to anybody who's trying to study the timelines that the White House knew right away that this was a terrorist attack.
Wow.
So why would they try not to answer? And if you look at what the answers that Steve Croft gave, or that Obama gave Steve Croft on CBS the day after,
right?
He says, we don't know yet. When if you look at the intelligence, it seemed quite clear. And then they shifted into this a couple days later, where they all decided, Jay Carney at the White House and Susan Rice on television, this was the video. It was the video. And they said, we have no evidence of a pre-planned attack. That was the line that really is the, if it's not the impeachable line, it is the dramatic lie that they had no evidence of a pre-planned attack. That's obviously serially untrue. And yet, you know, again, the networks had no interest in embarrassing Susan Rice or embarrassing Barack Obama. You know, and I want to say this, it is extremely unusual for them to send a cabinet member, and a UN ambassador now is a cabinet member, for them to send a cabinet member out to 5 Sunday shows. They just don't do that. The Obama team would always send the David Axelrods. They send the political operatives to do these shows. They have not sent Eric Holder, Hillary Clinton, Janet Napolitano. Those people don't do Sunday shows with this administration. So them sending Susan Rice was a very unusual move in the first place.
It's so sad, too. I think when the truth comes out about all this, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle thanks to this alternative media. For example, when Hillary Clinton eulogized the 4 dead Americans with their coffins right there, with their family members, their survivors right there, and basically blamed the video, when in reality we'll probably find out that no, it wasn't the video. This was a pre-planned attack. It had everything to do with 9/11 per se. Is the anniversary of 9/11, and it was a terrorist attack by Al-Qaeda. And it just kind of flies in the face of the narrative. Hey, Al-Qaeda's on the run, and Osama bin Laden's dead. We're doing a great job. Well, not really. What's happening in Libya and other parts of the Arab Spring are actually turning out terrible for many people, and human rights, basic human rights, are being violated.
Well, this is one of those things, again, where you would say, if this was a Republican administration, and they would try to say that an attack on an embassy on September 11 wasn't related to terrorism, they would probably mock them all as people who couldn't pass grade school.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I heard somebody today, a liberal, in a meeting context where he was making jokes about Fox News and, you know, implying that Fox News is so biased that, you know, what about Brett Hume? What about Brett Baer? By the way, those would be two good potential moderators for some future debate. And I'm serious. They would be excellent. Okay. Last, what's the fifth point, Tim Graham?
Well, basically, and this is, in some sense, it's at the end because it's sort of the number one, and that is that everybody realized that Obama's weakness in this cycle was the failure of the economy to revive, and yet this was not a story they wanted to do. And when we go back and look at, because we can do this, how did they cover George W. Bush in 2004? The economy under Bush at that time was much better than it is now. Lower unemployment, like in the fives, 5.4, something like that. Wow. Much smaller deficits, cheaper gas. It was actually there was a controversy in 04 that the oil companies were dropping gas prices in a pro-Bush conspiracy. But the network coverage that year was twice as hostile to Bush in 04 than they've been on the economy this year toward Obama. And so, you know, the news media would never try to associate economic discomfort with Obama, that they would go to some unemployed person who would say, I'm still unemployed, President Obama, it's your fault.
Yeah.
That's just the last thing they would want to do. You might see that in a Republican commercial, but you would never see it on a liberal newscast. And that's the whole funny part about all of this, is I would just say to you, I think sometimes that the ads these super PACs ran had more substance and more facts in them than the news coverage. I think the news coverage in between the commercials is really indistinguishable from a commercial a lot of the time.
Isn't that amazing? Do you have any statistics on what percentage of reporters or producers voted for who?
Well, they've stopped participating. That's our problem.
Ah.
92 was the last time we really had good data on this. And they all decided, you know what, we're going to stop doing these. But I think you can find examples of where journalists and their bosses are actually donating to candidates.
Wow.
Yeah.
You would think that they would have some kind of guidelines on that.
Oh, they do, but some people still go around them. So, I mean, this is the, you know, and they try to present people as nonpartisan who aren't. So you'll remember the whole fight over Big Bird, and they'll say, well, Big Bird, they're not partisan. Sesame Street's not a partisan show. Huh. Well, Joan Ganz Cooney, who runs Sesame Street, is a co-founder of the Sesame Workshop, is a massive Obama donor. And nobody said anything about that. We could all guess that. PBS people are liberal people.
Sure.
But they wanted this fiction that somehow, oh, it's Sesame Street, there's no bias there. Well, no, the people who run Sesame Street are massive Democrats, and they all made a huge deal out of Big Bird because they, you know, PBS and NPR in every electoral cycle are taxpayer-funded Democratic campaign operatives.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
All right, Tim Graham, thanks so much for being with us. MRC.org for more information. Make sure you look out that for that article. Thank you so much. All the best to you.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye now. And remember this, despite the vote, the fact is God is on his throne, and prayer still changes things. And let's be positive and work toward a better future. And let's try and somehow communicate to our fellow Americans in better, more positive ways the things that we believe are really true. That, you know, as Ronald Reagan once said, hey, we're all former unborn babies at one point. All right, God bless. We'll see you next week. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This has been Vocal Point.
Thank you for listening to Vocal Point. The views and opinions were those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of GraceNetRadio.com or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. Join us next Thursday at noon for Vocal Point on GraceNetRadio.com.